Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The defense has rested its case in the federal corruption trial of former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. Closing arguments expected this week. And back with us is John Seidel, federal courts reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. John, thanks for taking time with us again today.
Glad to do it. Good morning.
Let's talk again for our listeners who may not be familiar with this case. Give us just a brief rundown of what the charges are against Madigan.
Sure. Madigan is accused of a racketeering conspiracy, basically meaning that he led a criminal enterprise made up of his public office as speaker, his political offices in charge of the Democratic Party of Illinois, and even his law firm. They say that enterprise was designed to enhance his political power and reward his associates through a series of crimes, right? And so there's also charges like bribery and attempted extortion in there, but that's kind of like the broad gist of what the allegations are.
Well, prosecutors took weeks to outline their case. Should we read anything into the fact that the defense really only took days to try to refute all of that evidence?
You know, I don't think so for a couple reasons. I'd like to point out, even if they had called no witnesses at all, it's not like defense attorneys haven't been working to sow doubt about the government's case from the get-go, right? They've been cross-examining all of these witnesses and even kind of like low key witnesses that, you wouldn't think make a huge impact. They've really aggressively challenged them. So they also worked against the government there, but also actually the 12 witnesses in all that were called by Madigan's defense team, that's the longest defense case we've actually seen in this recent series of corruption trials we've seen in Chicago in recent years. So it was actually a fairly substantive case when compared to the other trials.
Talk about the last time we talked to you, Michael Madigan had taken the stand, which was kind of a surprise for a lot of people. Talk mm-hmm. about his testimony and that cross-examination from prosecutors.
Sure. So I think you're right. Last time we talked, he had only been questioned mostly by his own defense attorney, and he kind of told his own personal story. The cross-examination began the following week, and he was cross-examined by the lead prosecutor in the case who's sitting on, you know, decades worth of evidence against him. And that prosecutor really challenged Madigan on some of the things he said. First of all, his decision to take the stand and some of the things he said initially opened the door to a recording that jurors were not expected to hear but now have heard, in which Madigan is laughing about how people who worked for ComEd had made out like bandits, meaning they had made a lot of money, didn't do a lot of work. The defense really doesn't like this recording because they argue that the person who's the subject of that recording is not part of the overall allegations in the case. But because Madigan took the stand and because of some of the things he said, that opened the door. Jurors have heard that now. I think the prosecution also really effectively challenged Madigan on his decision to continue to meet with then Chicago Alderman Danny Solis, who secretly wore a wire for the FBI. Mr. Solis at one point dropped the words quid pro quo into a conversation with Madigan, and Madigan wound up lecturing him about, you know, using those words and telling him you shouldn't talk like that. But Madigan continued to meet with Solis as Solis continued to make connections between approvals at City Hall and a potential private gain from Madigan at Madigan's law firm. And eventually, Madigan even agreed to recommend Solis for a position on a state board. And the prosecutor really hammered home that point that Madigan didn't walk away from Solis. He kept meeting with him.
When do you expect closing arguments? When are you scheduled to be back in court?
Well, there's some legal arguments actually expected today. The jurors are not expected back at the courthouse today, though. Closing arguments are expected tomorrow, Wednesday. And for now, it's been estimated that they'll take 3 days. It's been hard to predict the timeline of this trial, so we'll see if they actually get all of the arguments done in 3 days. But the expectation is they should be done by the end of this week or early next week. And then the case is going into the hands of the jury.
Obviously, you've highlighted some of the things that were key in this case. But what specifically would you expect each side to highlight in those closing statements?
Well, you're right. There's a lot to talk about. I think the government is going to, initially walk the jurors through the charges and through each of the elements and explain. I mean, some of this is probably going to be pretty workmanlike, right? Like, here are the elements of each charge. Here is how we have proven each of the elements of each charge. And they'll likely identify the various racketeering acts that they believe were committed here. I think the defense is going to return to some of the counter arguments, the counter narratives that we heard over the last couple of weeks. They've offered alternative explanations for why, what was going on when certain ComEd bills passed. Of course, ComEd is accused of bribing Madigan to get legislation passed. What he was thinking with Danny Solis, to return to this whole thing about him talking to Danny Solis. One personal story we got was how Madigan had an alcoholic father and he learned to avoid confrontation. The reason jurors heard that is because the argument's going to be that Madigan didn't want to confront Solis. Solis kept making these inappropriate suggestions. So we'll probably hear a lot about that in the defense.
What do you think, from your perspective, as someone who does cover federal courts for a living, was some of the most compelling testimony that you heard over the course of this long trial?
Well, I think that there was, the two people who come to mind are Danny Solis and Michael Madigan. Sorry to keep returning to those two, but I think those two were the highlights. I think, to have, think about it from the perspective of these jurors. By the time Danny Solis was called to the stand, they'd heard a lot about what he'd done and about the recordings. And in fact, there was an FBI agent who testified right before him, and there was a really kind of electric exchange between him and the prosecutor about some of the things that had gone on with Danny Solis. So I think that was compelling to hear him come in and talk about not only what had gone on with Madigan, but Danny Solis had to explain his own dirty laundry. The reason he flipped and wore a wire for the FBI was because he was in danger of going to prison as well. So, I mean, that's going to be part of the arguments, too, that Danny Solis can't be trusted. And then to hear from Madigan himself, who's always been so reclusive and personally guarded, closely guarded his personal life, I think that was very interesting as well. And then, of course, the recordings. I mean, we'd heard some of these recordings in previous trials, but we saw many more this time around, including the ones that Solis made. We've heard about them. We've been talking about them for so long. We finally got to see them with our own eyes.
So if convicted, what kind of penalties or sentence could Michael Madigan face?
I don't have the max for each count right in front of me, but I'll tell you, it's going to be real significant prison time, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. You might recall that former Alderman Ed Burke was convicted of racketeering just a little bit more than a year ago, and I believe the government sought a 10-year prison sentence for him, and guidelines called for something more like 8, and Judge Kendall here in Chicago wound up giving him only 2 years, and it was based on a series of letters that she had received about all the good works that Ed Burke had done in the city. So it'll be interesting to see if Madigan gets that kind of treatment as well. Again, this is all speculative because we don't know what he's convicted of or if he's even going to be convicted. But it'll be interesting to see how his case is handled versus Burke. And then there are also a question of forfeiture, which could involve, thousands of dollars in a financial judgment.
John, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time this morning and your coverage of this case.
Sure, glad to do it. Thank you.
That is John Seidel, federal courts reporter with the Chicago Sun-Times, joining us this morning on KMOX. It's 8-